Now, I'm pretty sure we've all heard the saying, if you want something done right, do it yourself. According to this saying, you can't rely on other people to do something properly for you. In other words, you can only be fully confident in yourself to get the job done, or get the job done as you want it. Sometimes this saying rings pretty true when we see the people around us failing at tasks that we know that we can do. In other circumstances, we would trust other people to perform the task in the right way. They may be older, more experienced, or they may have previously shown their ability so that you can have confidence in them. But how about when it comes to salvation? If you want something done right, do it yourself, doesn't really apply in this situation. We know that we can't achieve salvation by ourselves. We can't be confident of gaining salvation by our own efforts and strength. Only God has the power to save us. The psalm we have read is about the confidence we can have in God to deliver us into salvation. The psalmist has an unwavering confidence in God's loving character and his plan to restore his people. We should also fully trust in God's unfailing love, and we know only he can grant us salvation. So we need to listen to what God says. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word that you have given us, and help us to apply your wisdom and guidance to our lives as we seek to serve you. Amen. God restores and forgives his people, even though they deserve punishment. The psalmist is confident that this is the case because God has shown his merciful and loving character throughout Israel's history. He knows God is a God of salvation. In the past, when things have gone wrong for God's people, he has acted and saved them. We can see this in verses 1 to 3. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. These verses speak of how God has blessed and forgiven his people. From the time of God's covenant with Abraham, his love has been unfailing and he has continued to restore his people. The psalmist says that God has covered all his people's sins. God's love and mercy are so great that he has made his people righteous and blameless in his sight. And we can only be declared righteous and blameless in God's sight through his unfailing love. God has set aside all his wrath and turned from his fierce anger. Instead of punishing Israel for their sin, he has redeemed them. Not because his people did not deserve punishment, but because of his unfailing love. This is why the psalmist trusts in God's love and why he believes and understands that God will restore his people and grant them salvation. This psalm, as we know, was written in a time before Jesus. These verses depict the understanding that the psalmist would have had of God's saving grace. The author had not seen Jesus. He had not seen God's ultimate sacrifice, where his son Jesus, who was in very nature God, died on the cross for all humanity. But for us today, we have the knowledge of Jesus. We know that Jesus has indeed died on the cross, and this influences the way we interpret this psalm. The psalmist's understanding of God's grace is built on God showing his love to Israel throughout history. He has heard how God has forgiven and redeemed his people, so he is confident in God's salvation. Today we can reflect on the ultimate act of God's saving grace, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate atoning sacrifice for our sins. We know that we are redeemed and restored through him. We can be confident God loves us and will save us because he gave up his son to pay the price for our sin. As Jesus was nailed to the cross, so was our sin. He paid the price to allow us to be in relationship with our Creator. In a similar way, good parents are a great illustration of love. We know that good parents love their children because they have shown it. They have shown it by feeding and clothing them and paying for their education amongst a multitude of other things. I know that my mum loves me, not just because she says that she loves me, but because she has shown it. Even as I have moved away from home, my mother is trying her best to feed me. I spent some time at home recently, and before I returned to Bathurst, my mum packed me a nice food hamper. It had a pumpkin from the backyard, a big sweet potato, a few oranges, and a bunch of unhealthy stuff as well. I am confident that my mum loves me because when I first moved away from home, she was sure to pack a couple of rolls of toilet paper just to make sure that I wouldn't have to go without. And although I have disobeyed my parents many, many times, and I have made them angry on many occasions, they continue to love and to care for me. We knew that we can trust our parents because they have shown that they love us and want to care for us. We can be confident God loves us and will save us because he gave up his son to pay the price for our sin and allows us to be in relationship with him. The psalmist knows and is confident that God is merciful and is loving towards his people because he had previously restored the fortunes of Israel and forgave all their sins. Now God has ultimately made it clear to us that he loves and saves his people through the death of Jesus on the cross. In Christ we have seen that we are saved, even though we deserve punishment. We can be fully confident and have faith in God that he will show us his unfailing love. We need to believe and understand that God will grant us his salvation. When we are hurting and when things are going wrong, we need to seek God. When life is hard, cry out to God for his salvation. We know despite how we are feeling, God's love is unfailing and does not change. The psalmist and his people are finding life very hard to the point of questioning whether God will be angry with them forever. He knows that God is a God of salvation, so he is pleading for God to restore his people and show them his unfailing love. From verses 4 to 7. Restore us again, O God, our Saviour, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. The psalmist understands that God is in control of everything, including what his people are going through. His plea is for God to act according to his character. His plea is for God to act according to his unfailing love, for God to again restore his people and grant them his salvation. In verse 4, the psalmist says, "Restore us again, O God, our Saviour." This shows that he trusts and believes in God as his Saviour. He has faith in God and is confident that he saves his people. The psalmist also asks a series of very hard questions. He asks God, "Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" These questions show how desperate his people are for God to show his love. These are rhetorical questions, because even though times are tough, the psalmist is confident that God's love is unfailing, and his people are looking forward to being restored again. Above all else, the psalmist is seeking God's salvation. In the same way, we have confidence that God will revive us, that we may rejoice in him. Through the death of Jesus on the cross, we can be certain that God is our Saviour and he will restore us. We can approach God with confidence as we know that he hears us when we ask for anything according to his will. And we know God's will is to grant his people salvation. We cry out to God because we have faith in him and trust in his goodness and power to act on our behalf. We come before God in humility, as we know we can't do things for ourselves, and we know we need God's help. Because we are confident in God's salvation, we cry out to him in times of hardship and suffering. In a loving marriage, there may still be arguments and fights. There will still be disagreements and hard times. During these particular moments, each partner may feel unloved. They may plead for their husband or wife to show them their love. And they can do this with the confidence and understanding that their partner does indeed love them. In a loving marriage, each partner can expect their husband or wife to act according to the promises they have made to each other. They know and believe that their partner really does love and care for them. They trust their husband or wife will not be angry with them forever. Throughout our lives, and especially in the hard times, we need to cling to God. We need to always trust in God and His saving grace. We can be confident in God's unfailing love. We know what God has done for us. In times of suffering, we should not blame God for our hardships. Instead, we should, through prayer, plead with God to continue to save us. We should always be praying for God to save us. We should be praying expectantly because God is a God of salvation. God is merciful and will show His unfailing love to His people. Salvation is close to those who fear God and who listen to Him. We know God is a God of salvation, and so we can be confident in His words to guide us. We can be confident to obey and listen to God. The psalmist says in verse 8 and 9, I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say. He promises peace to His people, His saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely His salvation is near those who fear Him, that His glory may dwell in our land. The psalmist says that he will continue to be faithful to God. He will continue to listen to God. He is confident in God's word and wants to listen to Him because he knows that God's word means peace. God promises peace to His people, His saints. Although this life is full of hardship and suffering, God will give us rest. He will restore us and give us peace. But let them not return to folly. The psalmist hopes that God will hold His people tight so they don't stop listening to His good word and return to their own wisdom. Only God is able to provide us with real and eternal peace. Only God is able to grant us salvation. Trust in Him and listen to His word. We cannot turn to other things in this life to give us salvation. We cannot trust in the wisdom of this world to lead us to a real and eternal peace. In this day and age, we have access to millions of expert opinions at our fingertips. We have instant access to an overwhelming amount of knowledge at the click of a button. But the so-called knowledge and wisdom of man is not wisdom at all. Because of sin, our earthly minds are completely unable to find the answers to life's biggest questions. Where do we go when we die? What is the meaning of life? We can only be confident in the words of God to lead us to salvation. Without God, we cannot know the truth and the way to peace. And without God, we have no power to change our hearts. So we need to listen to God's word, because He is the only one who can grant us salvation. We need to submit to God as King. The psalmist also says, surely God's salvation is near those who fear Him. What does it mean to fear God? In these verses, we can see that fearing God is very closely linked to listening to what God has to say. It means listening and obeying God as your master and honoring Him as your savior. Fearing God is listening to His words and taking them to heart. As we live day to day, we should follow God's word and allow God to shape our heart and our actions. Serving anything or anyone other than God will not lead to salvation. We can be confident that God will grant us salvation, so confidently obey His words and humbly accept His guidance. Fearing God is a bit like driving on the road and having to follow the road rules. You follow the rules because you are scared of the police and the consequences if you break the road laws. But a better picture of what it looks like to fear God is learning to drive with your father. Your father loves and cares for you in a way the police don't. Your father is motivated by love. We will follow what our father says, not just because he is watching us and it is the right thing to do, but also because we believe and understand that our father loves us and wants us to be safe. We trust and love God as our master because of his unfailing love for us. God also gives us what our fathers can't. God is able to grant us salvation and give us eternal peace. So listen to God and be obedient servants who are confident in his guidance and salvation. If you are trusting in anything of this world to give you prosperity and happiness, turn to God and listen to his word. If you are trusting in yourself to find peace, please turn instead to God and fear him. Serve God as your master and savior. God will give peace to his people, and salvation is near those who fear him. Salvation is near, so we should live as followers of Christ who have been saved and restored. We should live as God's people, confident of our future in Christ. Reading from verse 10. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. These final verses are the answer to what the psalmist is pleading for earlier in the psalm. This is what it is going to look like when God shows his love and brings his salvation. In verses 4 to 7, the psalmist pleads for God to act according to his character and save his people. Verse 4 says, "Restore us again, O God, our Saviour, and put away your displeasure toward us." And in verse 7, the psalmist asks God to show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Now verses 10 to 13 show us what the psalmist is hoping to see from God's unfailing love. As an Israelite, the psalmist is seeking God's safe place that he has set apart for the nation of Israel. This is an idyllic picture of God's provision and peace through the promised land. The psalmist is confident of Israel's future, where the nation will be restored. He is living in eager anticipation of God's rest for the Israelites. The psalmist also says, "The Lord will indeed give what is good," because God has shown himself to be a God of salvation. The psalmist is confident that God will deliver his people from suffering and give them peace. Our hope is similar to this, but with Christ. We are looking toward the new creation, because the promised land was just a taste of the new creation. We should live in eager anticipation of our future lives in Christ. We should be confident God will deliver us into his salvation. The way we live now reflects our confidence in God and our future salvation. Don't spend your time on other things on this earth when this peace and salvation is so close. Be motivated to listen to God and to serve him. Live confidently, trusting in God's plan, and truly repent of your sins and have faith in God's saving grace. Live as a humble but confident child of God. When you are around your non-Christian friends or non-Christian workmates, live as an ambassador of Christ who is confident of your salvation. When people ridicule you and seek to bring you down because of your faith, be confident of your redemption in our Lord Jesus Christ. God dwells with us because through Jesus we are righteous. Through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God enables us to be faithful. So as God enables us to live as his followers, live confidently as God's redeemed people. The way we live now reflects the confidence we have in God's saving grace. We know that our salvation has been fulfilled through Christ's death on the cross. We should live as who we are in Christ. We are God's people, forgiven and restored. Prince George, the son of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, William and Kate, will grow up as part of the royal family. As we know it, he will never live a normal life. He will instead live the life of a member of the English royal family. With the life he has been given, Prince George will learn to act and behave in a certain way. He will be given responsibilities and will need to be a good representative of the royal family. Prince George may one day be the monarch of England. That doesn't mean that he will need to start living and behaving as a royal from the day he is crowned, but he will need to live as a royal essentially from the day he is born. Now, we are confident that God's salvation is our ultimate future. Do you live confident that God's salvation is your ultimate future? Or do we live as if there is something better on this earth? Do we live preparing for this ultimate peace? This is the perfect peace where there will be no hardship and suffering. We will no longer worry about Satan's attacks seeking to bring us down. We can be confident in God and our future salvation. We need to look forward to the day when we will be saved and fully restored, to the day when we will be fully blameless in God's sight. Live as who you are in Christ, as people who were once dead but have been brought back to life through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Listen to God's word and live as faithful servants of God. Are you confident in God's salvation? Do you truly believe in God's unfailing love? Do you trust that God will provide his peace to his people? Are you listening to God? Do you fear him? Are you living as obedient servants of God who will one day enter God's eternal rest? Listen and trust in God, for his love is unfailing. He promises peace to his people, and his salvation is near those who fear him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for saving us. Thank you that we can be confident in your salvation because of the death of your Son on the cross. Now we pray that you will save us. We know that we continue to sin, but please forgive and restore us. Help us to fear you and listen to what you have to tell us. And help us to submit to you and serve you as our master. Amen.